Ah, Portugal. There's so much to do, but so little I feel like I have to do when we are here. Talk about a foreign feeling. When we are back from vacation, let's make sure we are still on track with our investment plans. You know, just in case we want to retire here.
With Vanguard Advice, no matter what your retirement goals are, we can help you get there. That's the value of ownership. Visit Vanguard.com and explore Vanguard Advice. All investing is subject to risk. Fund shareholders own the funds that own Vanguard. Services are provided by Vanguard Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
This is Sam from the Mask and Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Have you thought about your loved ones and their financial security if the unexpected happens? Plan for the future with PRCUA Life. Do it for them. Since 1873, PRCUA has been insuring that which is most precious, life. As well as protecting its members and their families financially, helping craft robust retirement plans, join PRCUA Life today and take advantage of its affordable life insurance plans, competitive annuity rates, and additional member benefits. Did you know that you can lower your income tax bill and boost your retirement income by opening a new PRCUA Life annuity or transferring your existing account? Earn up to 3.75 APY with 1-year guarantee and $500 minimum deposit. Get to know us better. Visit PRCUA.org or contact your local PRC representative at 336-776-7456. PRCUA Life, protecting life through all its stages.
All right, for my YouTube channel, it's If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
If Not For God with Mike Zwick, I've got my good friend Pastor Dana Coverstone back on, and he is out of Berksville, Kentucky. A couple of years ago, he had some dreams that were absolutely amazing. I tell you what, he foretold a lot of things that were happening. In his first dream, I believe it was back in June of 2020, he said, be prepared for hyperinflation. He's had many, many other dreams, but it's interesting that Pastor Dana and I, in the past probably month or so, have actually had a very similar dream. And so I was thinking about this earlier this week. I said, I feel like I need to talk to Pastor Dana about something. So I invited him on the show and I was praying about it and thinking about it. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 came along to my mind. And it's a very serious chapter. Some of the things that we're going to be talking about are going to be a little bit difficult to hear. So if you have young children, I would consider just, you know, use parental guidance, do what you want to do. But I think that what we're going to be talking about today is also very, very important. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and Pastor Dana, I'll let you finish it off. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service.
We go on to read, it says, but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come home, when you come, bring the cloak, which I left at Troas, the carpus, and the books of special parchments. And then listen to this verse that he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. So Paul here in this benediction is now going to talk about someone who really came against him in the ministry. Be on guard against him yourself. He tells Timothy, he didn't just come against me, he will come against you too. Be on guard against him yourself, for he has vigorously opposed our teaching. And then at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. Hear that. You know, a lot of times we focus on the earlier parts of this chapter. But he says, at my first defense, no one supported me. Paul basically says, everybody left. Everybody deserted me. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them. And then he says an incredible statement. But the Lord stood with him. Even though he was all alone, he knew the Lord was standing with him, facing the challenges. This is the last thing he's going to write down as far as the Word of God that will be counted as, you know, the last chapter he wrote. But the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. There's a reference to Daniel there. So basically, Paul says, I wasn't just in prison. I was in the lion's mouth. I was in the lion's den. I was close to dead. I was deserted. I was abandoned. Alexander the coppersmith had hurt me. I was all by myself, but yet the Lord stood with me. And in verse 18, he says this, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his evil kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the neat things about that verse to me, Michael, is the fact that he says, the Lord will deliver me. So the context of that deliverance is that he will bring him safely into his kingdom. So Paul basically says, you know, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I finished the course. He makes that incredible statement. And now he says, I will one day be delivered from this world, all the challenges, all the difficulties, all the things that I'm facing in Timothy. One day God's going to take me home, but I'm leaving opportunity for you. I've commissioned you. I've laid my hands upon you. I've prayed for you. And I'm trusting the Lord's going to use you, Timothy, in the world in which you live. After I'm gone, I'm going to my heavenly reward. God's going to take me home. It's not going to be too long from now. But I want you to stay braced. I want you to keep fighting. I want you to keep doing the things you do. And, you know, in the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I solemnly charge you. In other words, he was saying, I earnestly tell you, you've got to preach the word. You've got to make sure people hear the truth, know what's going on out there, what's happening. Yeah, just this morning, I mentioned the headline in my Pray With Me podcast that there was a cab driver in New York, dropped some young people off. He dropped some people off. They didn't pay. They took off running. He chases them down, trying to get his pay, and they beat the man to death. Now, we understand that violent crime in New York is not something new, but we're seeing more and more and more of this type of situation happen. A guy walks up behind a person in a restaurant, clubs him upside the head, knocks him down, he's in a coma. That guy goes to jail, but he's already been released. And you think, how in the world can these things happen? And that's the kind of world that he was saying, hey, preach the word in. Be ready in season, out of season. In other words, you don't stop witnessing. You don't stop telling people about Jesus. You don't stop. Being faithful. And there's another key thing we got to understand. In verse 3, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that doesn't just mean, that word that's used there for sound also means healthy. In other words, there'll come a time when they will not want the good stuff. They're going to want whatever tickles their ears, whatever pleases their life, whatever fits their agenda. And that's why we've got churches that have literally jumped off the mountain. They've jumped off the bridge. They're believing and teaching all sorts of things. You can be gay and be a Christian, which violates the word of God. You can have drag queen events in your churches, and God's okay with that. Well, we know better. The word of God's very, very clear. We've got people that are believing doctrines of demons. They're hearing it in their churches, and that doctrines of demons means there's something satanic being spoken, you know, in the pulpit. And he also mentions in verse 4, that they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. You know, you and I grew up in times where we were taught Greek and Roman mythology and the stories of Zeus and Medusa lay with a head of snakes and stuff like that. But we were smart enough and had enough common sense to know that those things aren't real. We understood there was a spiritual world, there was a supernatural world. But yet Paul is saying to Timothy, there's going to come a time and a day when people will simply stop believing the word. They will stop accepting the word of God as the banner of truth. And they will stop saying that what the Word of God talks about and deals with and addresses is what we need to live by. And so Paul is speaking to these people, is letting them realize that you better be sober. And that's why verse 5 is there. You better be sober in all things. You better have a clear head. Because you're going to have to, and this is not about just for the argumentation's sake, but you're going to have a clear head about what's going on around you. You know, there's this concept of, you know, being socially aware of your surroundings. Being aware of what's happening around you at all times. I'm in my office right now, and my dogs are near the two windows in my office, one at each window, and they're kind of growling outside. So that means one of two things. Either somebody's just pulled up to the church, I didn't know what's coming, and they're letting me know, hey, Dad, somebody's out there, or one of our cats is out there and they're like, hey, we want to get up there and play, or something else. But because my dogs start doing this, I understand, okay, maybe somebody's here. And we live in a day and age where I don't just leave the church unlocked. About 2 years ago, somebody said, Pastor Dan, you know, you ought to just leave the church unlocked every night. That way, if somebody comes by, they can just go in and pray. And I said, are you willing to replace the sound equipment? And they said, what? I said, are you willing to replace the sound equipment? Or are you willing to, you know, hey, will you come in every morning and sweep the building and make sure that somebody didn't come in and sneak and hide in a closet and then it's going to try to rob us or me when I walk in the office? Oh, that won't happen. And I said, let me show you some headlines. Let me show you, because a lot of people just don't realize how bad the world's getting. And it's not that Jesus didn't warn us. He said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, we're going to see those sort of things. So when he says, be sober in all things, he's literally saying, look, the world's going to get to a place. And Paul's the one that said, you know, in the last days, perilous times will come. He was telling Timothy, look, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get bad. And you better have a sober mind. You better be, you know, don't put anything in your body that can influence the way you think or act. But I always say, I don't want to put anything into my body, whether it's strong medicine or even a lot of caffeine. I don't want to put anything in my body that will impact my ability to think, to reason. I don't want to put anything into my body that will impact the way that I behave or I talk. And that's why I have such a, I don't agree that alcohol is good for any believer, because I've seen Christians blow their witness. I've had to go to a jail and talk to somebody who was a former board member who was in jail because he had a DUI. And then was worried about, you know, it's going to be on the air, it's going to be in the newspaper someday. Well, I can't help that. You got drunk, you got busted, and, you know, boom. But he knew enough to know, oh, boy, I shouldn't have done this, and I'm a board member of the church and all this and all that. And so it's about being sober. It's about being aware of the things happening around us. He also says endure hardship. I think we overlook that verse because we look at censorship. It was just announced that the UN, the United Nations, had come out with a bunch of people who were watching and monitoring all social media feeds, you know, during the pandemic. Now hospitals and doctors are starting to come out and realize that they made some pretty serious mistakes, and some of the ways that they treated COVID were not good. And now we're also finding there's even a medical report released just in the last couple of days in the UK. There's 1,000 people extra dying on every day.
Well, Pastor Dane, I wanted to jump in and tell you something real quick, because this is something that happened very recently. In the past year, and it was probably maybe March of 2021 or maybe a little bit later, maybe March of 2022, I'm sorry, but I called up one of my insurance companies because I sell life insurance, and I called them up and I said, you know, I'm just curious because you hear so many things, and I said, have the death rates gone up? And they said, yes. I said, you know, is it a little, a lot, or is it COVID? They said, no, it's not COVID. They said, it is, it's people are dying of things like heart attacks and strokes. And I said, oh, okay. Well, recently, in the last month, I asked them again. I said, oh, by the way, are the deaths way up? They said, yes. We used to have 3 or 4 people working in the death claims department. And they said, now we have 10 people working in the death claims department, and we can't even get to all of the claims. And once again, I asked them, I said, what is the reason for all of these deaths? And I didn't even say anything about COVID. She said, it's not COVID. She said, it's other things like heart attacks or strokes. And so there's many things that we told people not to do about a year and a half ago, about a year and a half ago now. And we screamed it from the rooftops, and people thought that we were crazy. Okay. So, but what I'm telling you, and when I hear you say this about be very careful about what you put into your body, if the government is telling you to do something and they're pushing it really hard and they're pushing it really fast, I would really, really pray to the Lord before I did something like that, because I hope I'm wrong, but it just doesn't seem like it turned out too well. More recently, there was a dream that I had, and people were in my dream. The United States had been invaded, I believe, and it looked like they were Asian. So and something in the dream told me they were Chinese, and they were. It was like on a whole nother level. It looked like hardcore communism. But you actually had a recent dream, Pastor Dana, where it was Hail to the Chief. Is that right?
Yes. And in that dream, I was waiting for the State of the Union address for, you know, February 2023, waiting for the president. And I did not have any sense that it was President Joe Biden was going to come walking out. And I say that very clearly. I say that very, I'm not prophetically. I just, that was the sense of the dream. It was not Biden. And pretty soon, nobody came in. All the leaders were sent down. People were getting nervous, getting afraid, can't figure it out. And the crowd begins to panic. A guy walks in, walks up to the crowd, tells them that, you know, to be quiet. The hell of the chief is going real loud. He takes the gun out. He fires into the speaker. The music stops. He tells everybody, basically, sit down, be quiet. And they basically say, you know, we have lost the president. And so no one can figure that out. No one can figure out what in the world is going on. A group of people come in, and they're wearing black suits, but they've got military Kevlar and stuff, which to me says it's like intelligence people. And they're watching what's going on. He also then tells these people to stand, raise your right hand, pledge allegiance, and kneel when they're told to. And people start getting nervous. If they won't stand, some people are injected with stuff in the neck by the people wearing the Kevlar and have the AR stuff. But then suddenly, a young girl who looks about to be the age of 12 or 13, wearing like an Olympic gymnast outfit, walks in the door where you would see the president come through. She's Asian, and she's walking very militaristically. Like, she is, you know, if you're an Olympic athlete, you have really come a long way. There's great precision in her step. She's marching almost like military. She's playing this flute. And she gets about 10 feet from the platform where the president would have spoken, and she does this flip in the air. And she lands on her feet. She's holding that note. And then she basically looks at the people that are there, that are talking, and she said, "You said you were with us. Now we see." And what I caught from the dream, that's just a real quick, you know, synopsis of it, mm-hmm. synopsis. But I believe that I believe that we have been sold out in many, many ways by leaders in Congress, by leaders and people in power, and that we are going to see, you know, some crazy things. And then just about a week ago, Mike Adams does this Health Ranger report situation update, and he says he's hearing some people that are hoping that this Mar-a-Lago raid and things like that will push conservatives to go kind of crazy, that the Trump supporters will go nuts, and then they can declare martial law, call in the United Nations, which would be Russian and Chinese troops, and suddenly that dream I had that came out back in June of 2020. Doesn't seem so crazy. And I've actually had somebody sent me a message saying, "I apologize, because I never thought I'd even hear that stuff in the news." And now here, you know, Mike Adams is saying this is, you know, something that could happen. So a lot of people are starting to realize, you know, Pelosi took a trip to Taiwan. Her son was her escort, who's got investment with Chinese corporations. That's out there in the news. You see China surrounding Taiwan doing military maneuvers. Some audio has been released of some speeches by the military leaders in China, you know, that what they're going to have to do to America and that sort of thing. And we know that we're not the strongest nation on the planet right now, based on the leadership in Washington, D.C., based on the compromises, based on what we have in the White House. And one other thing that I saw in my first dream was I saw an empty White House. And I believe that we've had an empty White House probably since November 2020. So there are some things that are happening, and a lot of people in the church, you know, a lot of people are seeing it, a lot of people are waking up, but at the same time, you just think, oh my goodness, why can't people see this? Just like the death rate, the medical stuff is coming out, the CDC kind of really seriously backtracking as school starts again, you know, the CDC backtracking to some of the ideas and things they said you have to do, or that we should have thought differently. You got a new sexually transmitted disease, you know, monkeypox, and yet instead of saying, folks, change your behavior, they're saying, oh, we just need to protect people. No, call it what it is. It's sin. It's sinful behavior between men having sex with men. And that's why this is spreading like it is. But yet, no one wants to deal with the underlying issues of sin. And that's when, you know, when Paul was saying, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. He was saying there's going to come a time when people do not want to hear sound doctrine. There's going to come a time when even people in America don't want to hear clear instructions from the government. They just want to be told what to do, how to do it, you know, shut up and go on. And that's where we are. And so in a time and place when the gospel needs to be preached and taught more than ever, when the gospel needs to be lived out more than ever, we've got folks that are just going crazy in their theology. They're jumping off, you know, they're jumping off the narrow road. And Jesus basically said, you know, the road you have to walk as a Christian, it's not broad. The road that leads to destruction is very wide. It's very broad. You can bring your baggage. You can bring your ideas. You can bring your own agendas. But the road that leads to life is narrow. And even Jesus said, few are those who find it. And so that's why we need people preaching and teaching the gospel, no matter what it costs. And it's eventually going to cost pastors and preachers a whole lot more than it's costing us right now. I believe that the censorship ideas, I think censorship's about to take a whole new level. And I do believe that what happened with Trump's estate, there's power grabs going on. People want to be in the know. People want to have the authority. And we're seeing a lot of political, governmental things that are being revealed and exposed. Confidence in like the FBI right now is not very good, based on Russiagate, you know, the Mueller investigation, all these things that come out trying to get Trump. The very day that Trump took the oath of office, one of the congressmen, last name Green, was, you know, filing papers to impeach him. He was taking the oath of office, and they're doing it, you know, wanting to impeach him. So that attitude that, that Trump brought into office about basically, you know, drain the swamp, he took it seriously. And those that knew he took it seriously are still trying to get to the place where he can't run again. And I think, I wish America would wake up to that. Now, here's my statement on that. I think the church has put way too much confidence in Trump. They put way too much confidence in man, or a man. Mm-hmm. Our answer is not in a president. And my concern would be, whatever happens in the midterm elections, which I don't think are always going to be everything we think they're going to be. You know, the news right now is all Democrats are headed to win. I don't think Democrats are really watching what's going on with America. People are fed up. They're tired of the circus, the constant circus with, you know, the January 6th stuff and impeachment. And they just want to get it over. We want to get our nation back. But my question would be, if the House and the Senate remain the same and Trump would win a presidency, what will get done? I'm not anti-Trump by any means. But right now, I'm afraid that the church is putting their faith in what they can see instead of what they can know in the Word. And our faith can't be in a man. You know, no president is going to save our nation. No president of either party or of whatever political structure is going to save this country. What's going to save this country will be the preaching of the Word, Christians living their Christian lifestyle out before the watching world. And us making the difference where we are, living the kind of life we're supposed to live, not chasing the unhealthy stuff that's out there in the pulpits, not bowing down to the doctrines of demons, but being the church. I mean, really, really being the church.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
speaking against those things that are going on. If you got churches that are sponsoring drag queen bingos, there's a real problem. There's not a real problem. That is satanic. That is demonic. That is pathetic. And these churches that think that, well, we can just live this way, they've denied the Word of God. They have basically said, we reject the Word. We want to do what we want to do. And God says to them, okay, you can do that. That's fine. But they seemingly forget that the wages of sin is death.
That's it. And in this 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't know if you probably know this. I don't know if all the listeners do or not. These were Paul's last words. Paul was about to be killed, and because he was a Roman citizen, I've seen that he actually had his head chopped off. So it wasn't as bad as some other people were, but I know with the dreams that I've seen, with some of the stuff that I've seen, I've even seen some stuff bad coming to me. And I think you've said the same thing about yourself, but I think maybe so long we've seen, oh, you know, people are going to say things that are going to put us down and it's going to hurt our feelings. We may be at a point now or where we're about to come where you stand for Christ, you could actually lose your life. Is that right?
I believe that. I believe we're going to see people put into prison. I believe we're going to see people, you're going to see censorship. You and I did a talk several months ago about abortion. And I think you told me that it was taken off of Facebook or something.
Yep, it was.
Yeah. So and basically, if they can shut down the airwaves, shut down the media, they can shut down the message. So I know I've talked with a guy that helps me with my social media stuff. And we've already got a presence on, you know, five or six other platforms. Mm-hmm. And so if Facebook shuts down tomorrow, boom, we can go to another one. If YouTube shuts down the next day, we can go to another one. Brighteon looks to be a pretty solid, pretty serious one that's going to hold its strength. But you know, compromise is out there, and nobody wants to hear the truth. And that's the one thing I think that we forget. The Antichrist himself wants to keep people from hearing the truth, experiencing the truth, and living the truth out. Because that truth lived out basically exemplifies what the Word of God says. And so if he can silence the believer, he can silence the preacher, he can silence the conversation in the workforce, he can shut down social media. You know, he thinks he can set it all down. But as long as we've got a mouth, we've got a tongue to talk, we need to share with anybody and everybody who will listen what we're saying. Even if they don't listen, we need to continue to share the truth and speak the truth as much as we can, because all of those things matter in this day and age, for sure.
Yeah, and the Bible says that we need to count the cost. You know, whether you think all of this stuff is right or wrong or whatever, but just if you're listening right now, I want you to just think about the cost of being a Christian, because time and time again, the Bible says that, and Jesus said that you will, you know, if they persecuted me, he said, what do you think they're going to do to you? This is, by the way, this is nothing new. There are countries that are all over the world where Christians are being persecuted. They're being killed. They're being imprisoned. I mean, if you look in Iran, if you look in Afghanistan, if you look in China, and you know, Canada, you know, you say Canada. Yeah. If you stand up in Canada and you say that, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that it is sinful for a man to have sex with a man, or it is sinful for a woman to have sex with a woman, and you try to help somebody who's living that lifestyle, they call it conversion therapy, and you can get right away 5 years in prison. So, you know, the stuff that we're talking about, it's happening around the world, but it's also happening over in Canada. And, unfortunately, I think it's going to be happening pretty soon here. But Pastor Dana, you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, and you do something every day. Is that right?
Yeah, I do a podcast called Pray With Me at 7 a.m. Central every morning. It's about 20, 25 minutes. I talk about some headlines. We're going through the book of Deuteronomy. I go through a book at a time. We look at the theology of it, the content, the structure. We pray about it, pray through it. And people can comment and chat. And then I do something called Practical Prayer in the Spirit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Tuesdays at noon. And a podcast called From the Perch, which we just deal with news and headlines and things that are going on every Thursday at noon and stuff too.
And you've got a book out?
I got a book out called Simple Accountability, and it's just based on 30 years of my life of being accountable to several men and who surround me, to where I share the temptations, the frustrations, the failures that I have on a weekly basis. I share the victories, and it's just a model of accountability that I've used for 30 years. God brought me through a very, very difficult situation because I had someone I could talk to and share my temptations and share my concerns and share my heart and my life. And it's available on Amazon, and they can get it through me for a little bit better price. Just contact me at realdanacoverstone@gmail.com. That's realdanacoverstone@gmail.com.
All right, guys, please pick up the book, and thanks again for coming on, If Not For God.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, for my YouTube channel, If Not For God with Mike Zwick, just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
Consider joining the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, also known as PRCUA Life. PRCUA Life is a fraternal benefit society that offers a variety of different life insurance portfolios for all stages of life. PRCUA Life also offers fixed indexed annuity plans with a yield up to 3.75% APY. As a fraternal organization, the PRCUA provides member benefits such as education scholarships, sports tournaments, numerous Polish-American cultural programs, and much more. To become a member and for more details, visit PRCUA.org or contact local PRCUA representatives at 336-776-7456. Consider joining the PRCUA Life this week.
This is the Truth Network.